Hello, fellow humans. In today's video, I will discuss why voting with your dollar is a bad idea. What is voting with your dollar actually about? It means that you show your preference for a product or service or even a political candidate on the market for such products, services, or politicians. You like something, you pay for it. And if you don't like it, you don't buy it. This has the implication that those products, services, and politicians that receive the most money are the most requested by consumers. This makes those products, services, and politicians successful. What is wrong with this picture? Why let success be determined by the desirability of products, services, and politicians? There are several assumptions baked into the reality of voting with your dollar. First of all, is it really true that this is what is happening? That the most purchased products, services, and politicians actually reflect the preferences of consumers? Nobody appears to be forcing you to spend your dollars or euros or yens. So if nobody appears to be forcing us to make those buying decisions, it means that those buying decisions are free. In reality, these decisions are far from being free. We can assume that we have free will or that we do not have free will. I argue that we do not have free will, actually, but it does not matter in this analysis. To make free purchase decisions assumes at least that you are aware of what is happening, that you are in the possession of your mental faculties, that you have the sensation that the decisions to buy come from within you. If we look closely at these decisions to buy, we find that they never ever come purely from inside you. There's always an external influence or an external cause for those decisions. A very nifty marketing campaign, very nifty advertising techniques, society that puts pressure on buying goods for status, politicians that appeal to your raw emotions and confirm your biases, the culture you were raised in, pressure from your family and friends, misinformation and manipulation through social media. You may say, so what? I'm influenced or informed by outside causes. The decision is still mine, so buying with my dollar is solely my own responsibility and represents my preferences. Yes, that may be the case, but under the reality that this is not a free decision. You are just a tool for all those forces that influence your apparent free decisions. So then the conclusion becomes, does voting with your dollar represent the preferences of consumers, or does it represent the influence of all those external forces? One must prove, without any doubt, that there are no external forces in order to show that buying with your dollar represents an independent preference of the individual. So far, nobody was able to offer such proof. Second, we should ask ourselves, what are the consequences of voting with your dollar? The first thing that comes to mind is, of course, that those with more dollars have more votes. $1 represents, in practice, one vote. In the end, it is not people that count as equal decision makers, but it is the dollars. If I have $100 and Elon Musk has $1 trillion, and we each vote with our dollars, guess who will have more influence on the products, services, and politicians that are available on the market? Of course, Elon Musk and all the super rich have more power on the market because they have more dollars, therefore more votes. In reality, under capitalism, power is linked in proportion to property. I have showed in my description of capitalism, which I call the threefold model of capitalism. The danger of linking power to property, because money is a form of property, is so obvious when it comes to the liberal representative form of democracy that has been established in the global north. When politicians can receive campaign money, in some cases unlimited campaign money, of course that those with most money can buy the politicians they find most desirable. Surely, it will represent their preferences, but does it represent the preference of the entire population? Of course not. As long as power is linked with property in proportion, which is the core design of capitalism, we cannot have a true democracy, regardless if it is representative or a direct democracy. Voting with your dollar also has bad consequences when it comes to goods and services. The super rich having more dollars, when they spend those dollars, they create a demand for certain goods that are extremely destructive for the environment and for the rest of humanity. Luxury cars, luxury goods, SUVs, private jets, cruise ships, mega mansions. All these things and services require enormous amounts of natural resources and labor to be produced. While they serve a very small fraction of the population, it really does not matter if that money is deserved or not. And we have seen that they are not deserved. It matters that money creates a very wrong kind of demand that promotes injustice and the destruction of life on Earth. Third, when we buy with our dollar, does that satisfy a need or a want? What is this buying process anyways? What does it represent? Why do we have to do buying and selling to satisfy needs and wants? We don't have to go into the history of markets to understand their benefits. Markets existed even before the invention of money, when ancient tribes used barter to exchange goods they needed. Barter is still alive and well today. You just don't hear about it in the news. So using money has become a proxy for satisfying a need or a want. And the core principle is that only you know best what your needs and wants are, and only you can decide best how to satisfy your needs and wants. Here, the distinction between needs and wants becomes important. Need is something that keeps you alive, in good health, and on the path to explore your potential in life. Needs are about food, housing, healthcare, education, relationships. Wants are psychological whims, affectations, desires, fads that are not required to keep you alive. Wants are about social status, power, non-essential pleasures. Markets under capitalism do not make a difference between needs and wants. Sellers want to sell as much as possible. Capitalists want to accumulate as much capital as possible. They don't care if they serve needs or wants. In fact, when they see that all needs are satisfied, they will invent new ones and present them as needs, such as a must-have new product, a buy this if you want to belong to this kind of group of people. So buying with your dollar means you are chasing wants that are fake. You are paying for something you do not need. You are paying so a bunch of capitalists can make more capital. There's no end for this scheme because it is supposed to grow without limit. This crazy game of accumulation, who is higher in the social status pyramid, who has more votes with their dollars, have broken the planet. Earth's first catastrophic climate tipping point has been reached, according to a new report. Coral reefs are facing a widespread dieback. This is all because the whole planet is trying to vote with their dollars, chasing needless, stupid, crappy products, services, and politicians. Fourth, there's no intrinsic reason why we cannot serve the needs of humans without voting with our dollars. Capitalism is pushing really hard the agenda that the only way to satisfy needs are through a monetary exchange on a market. Capitalism is pushing the idea of markets really, really hard. The dream of capitalists is that everything should be on a market. From rivers to oceans to forests to healthcare to education, even citizenship. They want markets because it is the easiest method in which capital can be accumulated. Of course, it is not the only way. Markets can remain a good method to satisfy needs because they are not intrinsically bad. Philosopher Michael Sandel has shown in What Money Can't Buy, the moral limits of markets, that putting everything on the market, allowing people to vote with their dollars, destroys the moral significance of what is put on the market. He writes, "Part of the appeal of markets is that they don't pass judgment on the preferences they satisfy. They don't ask whether some ways of valuing goods are higher or worthier than others. If someone is willing to pay for sex or a kidney, and a consenting adult is willing to sell, the only question the economist asks is, how much? We can of course argue, and I'm sure many of you agree to this, that there are certain products and services that should not be on a market, that should not be voted on with our dollars. Things such as education, healthcare, the right to citizenship, or buying your place in line for an organ donation. Karl Polanyi, in his classic work, The Great Transformation, showed how self-regulating markets never work. Their deficiencies in their internal workings and in their consequences are so great that government intervention becomes necessary. If you are poor, if you have no dollars, you don't have any votes, regardless of what your inner preference is. So right off the bat, those without dollars are left out of this metaphorical voting process, and they are stigmatized for not having earned those votes. The Poor Law Reform of 1834 in England abolished the right to live by removing relief for subsistence for the poor that was established with the Poor Relief Act in 1601. Polanyi writes, "The scientific cruelty of that act was so shocking to public sentiment in the 1830s and 1840s that the vehement contemporary protests blurred the picture in the eyes of posterity. Many of the most needy poor were left to their fate as outdoor relief was withdrawn, and among those who suffered most bitterly were the deserving poor, who were too proud to enter the workhouse, which had become an abode of shame. Voting with your dollar always leaves out those without dollars in the first place, to no fault of their own. And I have argued, since all wealth and poverty is a result of social circumstances, it means that poverty is also not deserved. Leaving people without any voice in society just because they don't have money to express a metaphorical vote is unjust and cruel. The alternative to voting with your dollar is a system based on economic democracy, where power is completely disconnected from property, where humans hold equal power in deciding all social matters, where voices should be expressed on the principle of one human, one voice, instead of $1, one vote. In the economy, this means production should be completely democratized by allowing workers to decide what to produce in response to the needs expressed by society. Needs should come first, and people should be able to express their needs by not being manipulated into making decisions. Most people can tell the difference between needs and wants, especially those who have lived in poverty. In the majority world, comprised of people living with under $100 a day or even $100 a month, knows that luxury goods are not needs, then we can conclude that voting with your dollar is a privilege reserved for the rich. Democratizing production is only the first step. Removing money from politics is also necessary. Abolishing elections and selecting governments by qualified lottery would also improve the democratic process, because elections were invented by elites to protect their wealth and privilege. Democracy badly needs a serious reform as well, where money will never be able to buy votes. All right, there's much more to say about money, markets, and democracy, but I'll stop here. Let me know in the comments how you think we can create a better and a more just world. Thank you for watching. Please share this video outside YouTube, wherever you can find real humans and not robots, to help with the organic growth of the revolution. Thank you for supporting me on Patreon and Ko-fi. $5 a month goes a long way, so I really appreciate all your contributions. This research is not possible without your support. Let us replace capitalism with an economy for life. Increase the peace.